is ridiculous. It's a radio show. It ain't a one-hour television spectacular.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I believe that's the first Cosell drop I've ever heard you use.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I finally got around to it. And it seemed pertinent today because we're talking about big stars on TV and Fox News and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wow. You probably don't know this, but I was a gigantic Howard Cosell fan.
I don't even know who Howard Cosell is.
I'm not surprised. Howard, really? You don't know who he is?
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with him, no.
Howard Cosell enjoyed the dubious distinction. He's the most famous sportscaster in history. He was very controversial. He had a horrible voice. He wore a bad hairpiece. He had kind of a nasally voice. He was very loud. He supported causes that he supported Muhammad Ali when most of America hated Muhammad Ali because Ali wouldn't go and fight in the war, and Cosell stood for him. And turns out Cosell and Ali were on the right side of history there. But here's the best thing to know about Howard Cosell, Andrew. And this is probably why I'm attracted to him. For several years, they had a poll of the most loved sportscaster in America, and Howard Cosell consistently won. And those same years, they had a poll of the worst sportscaster in America, and Howard Cosell consistently won that as well.
So he's on both sides.
He was named both the best and the worst in the same years.
In the same year, you said?
In several years that happened. Yeah.
The same pollsters doing it is just the people kept saying he was the best and the worst.
Two different questions, and Howard Cosell is the most loved and the most hated at the same time, which again explains why I would naturally gravitate.
It's the duality of man.
Wow, that's a good sentence there. Oh man, yes, yeah, so more Cosell drops, would you?
I'll see if I can scrounge up some more.
Oh, there are a million out there, believe me. Okay. We're from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. One bit of news before I get into the big lead here from the world of sports. Nicole, are you familiar with Mattress Mack?
Well, I am now.
Okay. So Mattress Mack is probably the most famous sports gambler in the world. He owns a mattress store down in Houston, Texas, and he is known for making gigantic bets. And in fact, for example, one of his the biggest bet of his life at the time was he put $8 million on the Denver Broncos to beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And of course, the Seahawks just absolutely destroyed the Broncos for their only Super Bowl championship. But Mattress Mac, he'll do these deals. You know, come in, spend three. Oh, you have audio of him, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, I'll play this one in a minute.
Yeah.
But he'll do commercials, and he'll tell people, come in, spend $3,000 on a new mattress, and if the Houston Astros win the World Series, you get all your money back. So people will buy lots of $3,000 mattresses, and then if the Astros win, the mattress will be free. But it works out for Mattress Mack because he will put a gigantic bet on the Astros to win the World Series. And as he did this year, he bet about $10 million on the Astros at 7.5-1 odds. So if the Astros win, Mattress Mack, and the Astros are heavy favorites now, now that it's just them and Phillies. So you'll win $75 million if the Astros win. Now, he'll lose a bunch of money because he's going to have to pay all his customers back for their beds. But he's a flamboyant. He's in his 70s now, does his own TV commercials. After losing a record amount betting against the Seahawks, last year he lost a new record amount when he bet on the Cincinnati Bengals to beat the Los Angeles Rams in the Super Bowl.
We live to play another day, and I'm going to keep loving on this town and loving on our customers. I'm just heartbroken we didn't win because I wanted to give the customers their money back.
What did the bet end up being
$9.5 million to pay back about $17 million, which is enough to pay all the customers free furniture. So I was thrilled that the customers were going to get it, but then Cincinnati lost right at the end. But we will live to play another day. Life offers you a second chance. It's called tomorrow. We're going to suit up tomorrow.
Yeah. I love his little live another day.
He seems like one of these guys who really enjoys life. And the only thing I would counterbalance that with a bit is when you bet on sports, you almost everybody loses. It is very tough to beat the house percentage. And while he's having a blast, you always wonder when you lose at gambling, could that money have gone to charity? Could it have gone to a better cause than just the coffers of some casino? Now, having said that, it is outrageous that Washington State remains one of the only states where you can't bet on sports unless you go to a tribal casino. The legislature gave the tribes a monopoly on sports gambling, and states that have legalized it in the last couple of years, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Colorado, all around the country, they are making hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes. And the Washington State Legislature gave this monopoly to the tribes, and it's just free money that the state legislature has given up. And most states have sports gambling now online where you can just do it on your phone. And it's a lot of people lose money, and so I'm against it. But it's just weird in a state where fentanyl, meth, heroin are all legal. But if you want to make a $10 bet on the Seahawks-Giants game this weekend, nope, can't do that. So backward. We are the most backwater state because of the Democrats that are in charge. How about some consistency? Do we believe in individual freedoms, personal rights, liberty, or not? But don't tell people they can shoot up heroin, but they can't bet $10 on a football game. It's just insane, our legislature. But they've been insane for a long, long time. All right. With that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Things are tightening up dramatically. The Republicans almost certainly are going to win the House in the election a week from Tuesday. It looks bigger and bigger every single day. But it's the Senate where the Democrats have been favored and kind of solidly favored for months now. But that is starting to change, and it's going to change even more in the next couple of days. But in the betting markets, where people can wager real money on the outcome, the Republicans have taken the lead for winning the U.S. Senate. At 538.com, which has a pretty good track record still, they completely blew it on Trump, but that's because the Trump voters, they brilliantly lied to the exit pollers. Yeah, I voted for Hillary, and then Trump smoked her into 16. But according to 538, it is now a dead heat for the Senate, and that's without updated polling on Pennsylvania. Last night, Dr. Oz had a debate with John Fetterman. And this was, I watched the whole thing, and I will tell you, it is absolutely inexplicable that the Democrats are pushing a guy whose brain has been, and this is not, partisan thing. This is a factual statement. The Democrats are pushing a man whose brain has been significantly damaged by a stroke that he suffered 5 months ago. He can barely talk. So why did they stick with Fetterman when they could have gone to somebody else? I'm going to tell you that right after the news at 2:30. I will explain why people like Joe Biden and John Fetterman and Kamala Harris, people whose brains don't function right, are being pushed out there by the Democrat Party. And there is a very real reason why this is happening. But, Nicole, you've been pulling audio for our show forever. Have you ever seen anything like the Senate debate last night?
No, I said this to you earlier, but I feel like we're getting punked. It seems it's like an actor. It's like an actor going up there and saying, oh, I'm just going to be as terrible as I can at this whole debate thing, this whole running for Senate thing, and then say, you know, this is what you guys were still willing to elect.
Yeah, I said, I'll explain why they're doing this right after 2:30. But here is Fetterman a couple of years ago said he is absolutely against fracking. Now, the energy industry is huge in Pennsylvania. So now he has to do a 180, but he's on record saying that he is against fracking. Listen to this moment in the debate.
You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Wow. But he does not support an institution.
So I think it's critical that we be consistent, and I do not believe in supporting the Supreme Court.
Okay. He does not support the Supreme Court. He talked about raising taxes, but he has a history of not paying taxes himself. He's been essentially, he was a deadbeat into his 40s. His parents basically paid for his life into his 40s, and they became mayor of a small town, and then the Democrat Party decided to elevate him to lieutenant governor, and now they're pushing him for senator. But why would he support raising taxes when he has avoided taxes?
Mr. Fetterman, I will allow a 15-second rebuttal. He has specifically said you have not paid your taxes and that you want to raise taxes on Americans. How do you respond?
Absolutely. The Oz rule, of course, he's lying. It was helping two students 17 years ago to help them, you know, buy their own homes. They didn't pay the bills, and it got her paid. And it has never been an issue in any of the campaign before. It was all about nonprofit.
He just doesn't make any sense. And they tried telling Pennsylvanians that he had these auditory issues. They put closed captioning monitors in front of them at this debate because they said he cannot understand the spoken word, but his brain works fine. And everybody saw last night in really the most shocking debate performance that I've ever seen that his brain just does not work.
Now, we all have to make sure that everyone that works is able to, that's the most American bargain, that if you work full-time, you should be able to live in dignity as well, true. And I believe they haven't have any businesses being you can't have businesses being subsidized by not paying individuals that just simply can't afford to pay their own way.
The synapses just are not firing. And so it looks like Dr. Oz, who was trailing rather significantly for months and months and months in this Pennsylvania Senate race, everybody recognized, even national Democrat leftist commentators, everybody recognizes that John Fetterman, his brain does not work well enough to be in the United States Senate. Okay, again, but 12 minutes. I'll tell you why they're still pushing this guy. And it's a pattern right now, what we're seeing. Okay, so Pennsylvania now looks almost certainly like it's going to go for Dr. Oz, which is a huge flip. Ohio is very close, where writer J.D. Vance has pulled ahead of Ryan, Congressman Ryan, who's running for the Senate there. And then you have Washington, where Patty Murray's people are so nervous that they had Elizabeth, the fake Native American Warren, fly out last week for the most uninspired campaign event ever until today, when they had Kamala Harris fly out. And the games that they play, the games politicians play. So Kamala Harris, she came out here to, she said, make a big announcement.
We have now invested, and that's the announcement today, $5 billion over the next 5 years. What we are doing today is the first of those $1 billion, $1 billion, distributing to the 50 states to roll these buses out.
Electric school buses. So this is the game you play to make taxpayers pay for your campaign event. So they come out, they say, no, this is a political appearance. It's a press conference. We're announcing $5 billion for electric school buses. And then with the taxpayers covering the trip, just based on that, then she can go and try to raise money for Patty Murray. So they're at the Showbox Theater and like, whoa, what a 1-2 punch that is. What a twin bill they had at the Showbox this afternoon. And it's embarrassing for Patty Murray. She's been in the Senate for 30 years, and now they're throwing scraps, Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, their way, because they're so afraid that it's slipping away here in Washington. Patty Murray's still the favorite here in Washington, but 538 now rates the Senate race a toss-up, 50-50, and that is before any polling that reflects what happened to Fetterman in that debate last night. And so this is looking disastrous for the Democrats, absolutely disastrous. And the fact that they, you know, the electric school bus thing, to make taxpayers pay for this trip out here. And by the way, does anybody think they're really going to roll out electric school buses next year? We've got our schools that are failing. We found out earlier this week that the kids are 1 year behind their school level because of the long shutdown, 1 to 2 years behind. There's a educational nightmare in America, and the Democrats, again, showing incredible tone deafness. Electric school buses. When kids are failing school, parents don't care about your woke school bus agenda. And the other thing is, those electric batteries, they better hope that they never have a school bus fire. Do you remember what happened with that cruise ship that was sitting off of Washington while the cruise ships were backed up, and fire burned for days because there were a bunch of electric vehicles, because you can't fight those fires in traditional ways because of the batteries? They better hope they have all the bugs out of the electric school bus system before they roll this out. But just the fact they're focusing on their woke climate agenda before they care about educating kids shows why the Democrats are going to get swamped in 13 days. They have zero clue what the priorities of America are right now. The economy, crime, inflation. They don't care about electric school buses. They don't care about your other phony issues that you're trying to trot out there. Okay, that is your big lead this hour. We're going to check the news for you. And then I'm going to explain why Joe Biden, John Fetterman, Kamala Harris, why are the Democrats trotting out people who cannot process thought? It's very interesting analysis that I'll share with you next here in the Dory Monson Show. Some breaking news just coming in here to the Dory Monson Show. Jerry Lee Lewis, one of the pioneering figures in rock and roll, has just died at the age of 87, according to TMZ. Jerry Lewis was the first inductee in the very first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 1986. He was known as the killer because he would just kill the audience. the way he would play. He would set the piano on fire sometimes. The other thing he's known for is when he was a grown adult, he married his 13-year-old cousin, too. But Jerry Lee Lewis, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, he was inducted into the Country Hall of Fame this year, but he couldn't attend because he had the flu. Kris Kristofferson accepted on his behalf, and then Kristofferson drove the award to him personally. But Jerry Lee Lewis, 87 years old. Now, let me listen to a little bit of this rock. Rockabilly.
Good. Holy baby. Well, I often love you like I love a should. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you might you try to kill
that. I think we've talked about this before. If I had wishes that could come true, I would love to be a great improv piano player. That would be very near the top of my list of wishes. I play the piano every day. All I can do is read notes. I'm not that good, but gosh, that would be fun to be able to just sit. He taught himself how to play when he was 9 years old. And then by the time he was 14, he played gigs. And then before he knew it, he was jamming with Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. It's amazing that he's still around, or was still around until this afternoon. So many gigs with Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. They're long gone. But Jerry Lee Lewis, 87 years old. Nicole, is this picture that you sent me real?
I believe so. It was posted by a friend on social media.
It looks so tone deaf. The Seattle police have Pride Rainbow police cars driving around now?
Apparently. Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, I have nothing against people being proud. But why is this on our police cars?
I just don't understand why police are expected to make any statement like
that. Exactly. And they would never allow any kind of statement in favor of traditional families. But we have Pride police cars. But here's what's so bizarre about it. It's like what I was talking about in the last segment, that we have kids failing at a record rate across America in school, and Kamala Harris is out talking about electric school buses. We're on a record murder pace in Seattle this year, and we've got Pride police cars. It's like all anybody cares about now is show. All they care about is trying to impress people with their leftist idealism. How about we get the job done? How about we educate kids, and then you can do all of your social justice crap in the classroom after the kids are educated? How about we stop the murders, and then you can do the social justice expression with the police cars?
I actually just think that you shouldn't do any kind of symbolism on police cars. I mean, not for anything, because you want to know that when you're dealing with the cops, they're there for everyone, right? So you're not favoring one group, skin color, class,
it's all for
sexuality
show.
Over another. They're just cops out looking out for everybody. That's the hope and a prayer, right?
Just emptiness at the top everywhere. That's what we're talking about. So Why are the Democrats? Joe Biden clearly was showing signs of dementia when he was running for president. Why do the Democrats still want him? And it's gotten dramatically worse. Biden really has trouble speaking. He shakes hands with ghosts. He gets lost as he wanders about every stage that he's on. Why do they want somebody who's clearly suffering from dementia as president? John Fetterman. The worst debate performance in history. Everybody saw last night that the effects of his stroke.
You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking. But there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Okay, they knew 5 months ago when he suffered this stroke that he was dramatically mentally impaired. And everybody saw it last night during this debate. Why would you push him? Why wouldn't you switch to a candidate whose brain still functions somewhat, to be in the United States Senate. Well, there's a great column today by David Strom about this. You know, when the reason Donald Trump was so hated was because he dared fight back against the traditional Washington politics. You know, he always called it the deep state.
Secretary of State Pompeo is extremely busy. So if you have any question for him right now, could you do that? Because you know what I'd like to do? I'd like him to go back to the State Department, or as they call it, the deep state department.
Okay. Trump talked about the deep state. Well, David Strom has written this great column about in the wake of the Fetterman-Oz debate last night. And he says, clearly this man is not fit to be a senator. So why, when the Senate is known as the world's greatest deliberative body, why would the Democrats put forth somebody who can't function right now? And he says the answer, obviously, is that they believe the actual figurehead is utterly irrelevant. Just like with Joe Biden, when they installed him as president, the front man doesn't matter when it comes to the Democrats, because the Democrats are all about the deep state. You know, these forces in government that really are controlling everything. And as he writes, Strom writes, anybody who is short of being a corpse will do just fine, because it's not the candidate people vote for that does anything important. Leave that to the deep state, who are increasingly the ones running the country. Empty vessel politicians are easier to control. Trump couldn't be controlled, so they hated him, and they made the media hate him. They told the media to push out nothing but hatred. But Joe Biden is clearly an empty vessel. John Fetterman is an empty vessel. And even though she doesn't have dementia or hasn't suffered a stroke, Kamala Harris is a completely empty vessel. I mean, everybody can see that there's nothing going on intellectually with the vice president. But it's cruel. Let me go back to the Strom column. Using people as if they were inanimate tools is very cruel indeed. But what Biden and Fetterman's campaigns have shown is that the establishment prefers empty vessel candidates. The emptier, the better. It's a bonus that Fetterman's brain right now doesn't work. He can't speak well enough to fool the rest of us, though. So now he might lose. He almost certainly will lose that Senate race. So when you hear about the deep state being a myth, oh, yeah, it's the black helicopter, tinfoil hat. No, it's not. The only reason you put forth Joe Biden and John Fetterman, whose brains don't work, is because the emptier, the better, because they are being controlled by a lot of other forces who just want to work behind the scenes for their own power and purpose.
Hey, really,
there's no other explanation.
Did you notice also that they wouldn't call Dr. Oz doctor? They would only call him Mr.
Right.
Which is, it's interesting to me because we have to call Dr. Jill Biden Dr. Jill. Biden.
Dr. Kim Schreier.
And every interviewer does. Everybody calls her doctor. But mm-hmm. Dr. Oz, they decided his medical doctrine was not relevant to the debate.
He's a surgeon. The man's a surgeon. He's not like Dr. Jill Biden, who wrote a thesis on community colleges for her doctorate. He's a surgeon. But she's Dr. Jill. He's just Mehmet. All right, Deep State, live and well. Awesome audio next. I have a little minor, tiny correction. Jerry Lee Lewis is alive. It was TMZ that reported he was dead, and we passed that along. TMZ is now reporting Jerry Lee Lewis is not dead. He's alive, living in Memphis. So I don't know how TMZ usually has a pretty good track record, but
they
have now
Tony Dow wrong too. I mean, he was close to it. So he was within 24 hours of going, remember? But but I think that was also because somebody had posted something, remember? But anyway, but yeah, losing credibility, that TMZ.
Well, in TMZ, I've told this story many times. What I think was one of the more dramatic days ever that I've had on this show was the day Michael Jackson died, because I think you could make a pretty good case that Michael Jackson was the most famous person on the planet when he died, and he nobody knew it was coming. People knew that he, you know, had struggled with stuff over the years, but nobody knew that Michael Jackson was, you know, he died from whatever that sleeping med was that the doc was giving him. And TMZ had Michael Jackson is dead at least an hour before everybody else. And I'm trying to find corroboration. I'm checking every other traditional source, and nobody is reporting. CBS, CNN, NBC, ABC, nobody is reporting that Michael Jackson has died. And TMZ had it. There was something about the way they worded it that convinced me that they had a really good insider source. But I knew that, you know, because I remember exactly where I was when I heard John Lennon has died. And I heard all these things on the radio. John Lennon has died. Elvis has died. I remember exactly where I was. So I knew. I felt great responsibility, because I figured, well, when I say Michael Jackson is dead, there are probably going to be a lot of people who remember that moment the way I have remembered moments like that throughout the years. And so about a half hour after TMZ first reported it, but a half hour before anybody else, since TMZ was an hour ahead, we went with the news, dramatic news, that Michael Jackson had died. And that was actually, but yeah, TMZ, I trusted them that day, but Jerry Lewis, not dead, okay? All right, now everybody's going to remember where they were when I said Jerry Lee Lewis is dead, but he's not, okay? Remember this moment, not the other one. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, do I even have time for this? Yeah, you know, this is awesome audio. Do you even have to play an intro? Our friend Tom Nelson, The Outdoor Line, he does a story with us on Monday about bears and woke politics, how we've eliminated so much hunting as part of the ecosystem. And before you know it, boom, he's on Jesse Waters Live on Fox last night.
You're saying stand your ground, don't wave around and make loud noises, don't climb trees, don't, you know, take a stick, and when the bear goes to open its mouth to bite down, stick the stick in its jaw so it locks.
The best thing is a 10 mil Glock and bear spray at the same time, okay?
Okay, you need that, right? In Manhattan, or, too.
Yeah, I agree. And it's sad, because the same woke ideology is causing the unsafe nature in the cities. Now we're seeing it in the suburbs. But basically, what I'm seeing from the far left agenda is definitely they don't want us hunting, they don't want us fishing, they don't want us self-sufficient, Jesse. It's the only thing I can really come up with. Taking wildlife management suggestions from the wokesters is like asking Jeffrey Dahmer for relationship advice.
All right.
Go get him, Captain Don. All right, I got to get out of here. The John Carlin, Sherry Elicker show is up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.